Hi, Marty. Lurie here, KNBR 680, and it is the philosopher because it's every other week. And Javier Lopez joins us. And boy, what a time of year for baseball. And just in general, as we start off today, no matter what happens this weekend, baseball, the season's delivered. Kept you interested the whole way. And now here we are with a few games to go and still a lot at stake.
I think you're right. I think when you get to this moment in baseball and in the season, you're just trying to make some things happen, and we're putting ourselves in that position, and a lot of other teams around the league have done that. And, you know, you got to give credit to that second wild card, making this a lot more interesting when you get down here and in the end of September, that every one of these games, every one of these series right now at the end are going to be pretty important. There's very few teams that are up on that out-of-town scoreboard that are just flat out knowing they're going home. And that's what you want as a fan. You want people to play. Everyone's going to play with their pride and want to play. They don't want to embarrass themselves or anything, but it's nice to have a little extra juice going into the weekend.
Well, it's an exciting weekend. Giants-Dodgers coming up. Javier Lopez joins us. What about the team? And, well, we've had fun together, and at least I have, all year long, going through the philosophy of a baseball season with you, the beginning, the middle, the trade deadline, the dog days of August. What's it like now for a player, yourself? You've been down this road before with the playoff right there or maybe not right there. What's it like as a player right now?
Well, the stress is there. There's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody's hiding that. And, you know, you do everything you can to make sure you're ready to go physically and mentally for these games. You know, there might be a little extra video work for a couple guys. There might be a lot less for a lot of guys. You know, sometimes there's a paralysis by analysis, and there's a fine line with that. And, you know, you want to be prepared, as you always should be, no matter what you're doing in life. But there is a fine line in baseball because it is a feel game. It's a game. It's a feel a lot of times, as opposed to just going off of information. Sometimes that gets lost in the game. But I think a lot of guys are walking around with smiles on their faces. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. Again, we could have been, we could have, would have, should have in the second half and be tied with the Dodgers and be playing for the division lead right now, but we're not. So we got to focus in on the wild card, and I think a lot of guys are just excited that we have that opportunity and we get to do it in front of the home crowd.
And it's Giants-Dodgers. I mean, you know, look, they can knock you out. They're in. What do you think? I wonder what their attitude will be. Have you been in a situation like that before where you're in and you played a rival maybe to try to knock them out?
I can't remember one off the top of my head, but I do feel like that is one of those situations where you do try to do that. I think, again, they know how dangerous a club we can be. So with that being said, I do think that, you know, they're throwing Rich Hill today. We're going to see some good arms this weekend, and obviously, it's going to help them as well going into the postseason. I don't think we're a pushover club by any means, and you know they're going to go off and play the Nationals, and they got to be ready too. So, you know, they're going to play their tails off, and we expect them to. Nothing's going to be given. You got to earn it here, and we're excited for the opportunity and the challenge that brings.
I almost feel that it's a playoff already. That, you know, look, you win or lose one game now, it could be devastating. You know, it put odds which would be difficult to overcome. So I kind of feel you're in the playoff already. Do you feel that way?
I definitely do. I think a lot of September, and in particular mid to late September, that you have to have that mindset, you know, especially when your first goal gets scratched off, so to speak, when the division is not in sight. You have to refocus and maintain a positive attitude and realize that things aren't over and you still got a chance at the wild card. And that's, again, the beauty of the wild card. It's something that we've done before. It's not something that you want to do, but we're not foreign to it. But you just want to be playing well. And I think that's we finally won another series. I think it was the fourth one against just for us in the second half. So against a club that's always given us trouble in Colorado, and that's something that we can be proud of, that we're going in against the Dodgers, against our rival. You don't need any more juice than that fact, but if you want some extra, it's the fact that we're playing for a spot to hopefully clinch this weekend.
Thursday night, replay reared its ugly head again in baseball. Baseball trying to figure out how to deal with replay. And the ball off the wall in St. Louis, it should have been a ground rule double. Umpires left the field. Said, well, you didn't say something within 10 seconds or a minute. I'll tell you, you know, you and I have talked this replay thing so many times. Here's another one of those things where baseball, you say, come on, what are you doing?
You're right. When you get down to these games, 158, 159, and whatever number it was at that point. I think it was 159. You can't have that. I just feel like you can't have it at any point in time during the season, but in particular when there's so much riding on it. And I'm not sure what the umpires have to do so quickly after a ball game. Even when we lose, there's still guys that loiter around in the dugout and see the other team react on the field and stuff. It's never guys hurrying up and running upstairs to get to the showers. So, you know, umpires' life might be a little bit different, but it's unfortunate to see. And, you know, congratulations to the Cardinals to get that win and keep the pressure on us. But you would hope that looking into the future, into the crystal ball, that would be something that they're going to look at in this offseason, realize that, you know, no matter, I know it can happen in April and in May and it's just as important, but it just shines a lot more at the end of September.
Yeah, and that's the whole purpose of it, is to get it right where you're running.
Exactly right. Yeah, you know, that's you want to play this game the right way, and that's what the replays offered us, is another guy to look at it, and another couple guys, another sets of eyes, and you run that the one time that you really need it, and there's nobody there to initiate that call, and that's a tough one for us to watch. But you know, we did our job, we won the game, and they're doing theirs, and they won theirs.
Looking at the starting pitching, you know, you and I chatted about pitching and defense. I still say that's the name of the game here. To see three games in a row with 10-plus strikeouts, it doesn't happen that often. Give me your thoughts about watching Cueto work now, watching Samardzija work, watching Bumgarner work, watching Matt Moore work. What you see when these guys are out there?
Well, you see hunger and you see excitement. That's what you want to see when you're trying to make a playoff push. And these guys are doing everything they can to be ready to go physically and mentally for these games. And that's one thing that you can hang your hat on. And I think a lot of that starts with Madison. Madison, you know, he has a flair for the dramatic sometimes on the field, whether it's provoked or otherwise. But, you know, the guy's out there and he's a competitor and he wants to pitch and he wants to win. And that rubs off on the guys. And Cueto's the same way. And Samardzija, he's got that, he's obviously been a baseball player a long time now, but he still has that football mentality where it's me versus you, and let's have it out, and let's battle a little bit and see where we're at. And I think Matty Moore is slotted in perfectly for us. It gives us that second lefty that is a little bit different than Madison, just enough. You know, he relies a little bit more on his curveball, and they still probably work inside about the same, but he's added the cutter now, and he likes throwing his changeup, and it's just a different repertoire than you see from Madison. And I think that's one thing that we kind of like seeing, is that these young guys are looking at each other's starts and rooting for each other and pushing for each other, but at the same time knowing that they want to step up and do the same thing. And I think it shows so far.
Yeah, boy, Javier Lopez, always a good philosophy about the game of baseball. Now, what do you do during an argument or a fight like we had the other day? Do you jump right in the middle of it, separating people? Or I know the charge of the light brigade looked like when the bullpen came in. It was a great shot. But what do? Are you a peacemaker, or do you come in and say, hey, let's get it on?
Well, at this point in time, you play the peacemaker, especially when you're coming in from the bullpen. By that time, most of that's the scrum is just basically a lot of pushing, you know, no swinging, it's just a bunch of shoving, and you try to pull these guys apart. We make our money with our hands, and God forbid you'd want Madison to take a swing and, you know, make a boxer's fracture or something crazy that might happen to his hand and take him out of the lineup for us when we need him most. So, you know, tensions are high. There's a lot riding on these games. You know, a lot of guys don't understand what happens to themselves. I'm one of those. You get so into a moment that you lose yourself in the moment. And, you know, you gotta have somebody there to have your back and reel you back in. And I think that's what most of the baseball players will do, in particular the ones in the pen, because we're the last ones in. So we play the peacemaker and just try to just be for your teammates. And that's what the other teams do as well. You know, you saw it in Toronto just a couple nights ago. You see it a lot in September, because there's so many things riding on these games that, you know, you wish you would have taken care of business in May, June, or July, where you wouldn't have so much going, but that doesn't help with the drama that we always need in September.
Looking at the bullpen now, Romo has sort of taken the closer's role, and, you know, good slider, and he's been there before. Your comments on him?
Well, Romo's battle-tested. There's no doubt about that. I think everybody knows when he's going to get the ball, he's throwing strikes. And that's in his MO for the 7 years that I've been here. He's come in, thrown strikes. And, you know, obviously, they've limited his work against lefties this year, but that doesn't mean that he can't get him out. He proved it last night. Pitched really well. So the guy's got the ability, he's got the stuff, and he's got the moxie to be a closer. He's proven it, and I think, you know, going into looking into the future, he's a free agent, and you know, a couple saves ain't going to hurt the resume. So I think he's excited about that opportunity as well.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was looking at your notes today, and, you know, again, you're third or fourth in the big leagues with inherited runners and, of course, stranding inherited runners. And now, many times you come in to start an inning, you know, you'll be the first guy in, you know, to get the lefty or something. But then a lot of times you come in with people on base. Now, the adrenaline, does it pump much more when you come in with people on base? That room for error is so small.
I think it does, and I think I kind of just kind of grown accustomed to it, but it is rare when I'm out there to actually start an inning. It does feel a little bit different, but I do like the juice of having a couple guys out there on base, and, and really it just really helps me get a fine focus about what I'm really trying to do. And I'm a contact pitcher, I always will be, and that's always my ultimate goal. But you know, if I have an opportunity to go for a punch out, I'm going to try it, but ultimately I'm in there to try to get a double play and just get an out in general. And it has its certain flair when you have to work with guys on base, and I've done a really good job with that in my career, and I think that's part of the reason why I've been able to stick around. It's just that I'm not it's not something that every pitcher loves to do, but it's just part of the territory, and you have to embrace it, or you won't be here very long.
How do you feel about the team? And now we've gone through, you know, about 159, 160 games already. How do you feel about this team with the playoffs staring ahead? And look, you're a three-time world champion and all that stuff.
Well, I think we look great. I do think there's moments where we're just not coming up with that big hit, and it's been the story of the second half. Either we don't get that big out that we need, or we don't get the big hit that we need, but we're playing a bunch of one-run games in the second half. I mean, the record in the first half was, you'd have to know this one, I think it's like 20 and 10 or so in one-run games, and second half we're vice versa. I think we're, you know, 10 and 20. So that's going to pay off when you get into the postseason and you do play those tight ball games that we've been there. But that's no excuse. You know, we need to get the job done now, and that's what you want. We have an opportunity, being up one with three to go here, that, you know, we have a chance to control, shouldn't say control destiny, because destiny is what it is, but, you know, you have a chance to control the outcomes the best you can with quality efforts, and I think that's what you're starting to see. You're seeing guys, I shouldn't say grind at bats, but I feel like they're taking better at bats. They're not making the bats into sawdust. You know, the guys are really working a pitcher, and the pitchers, like you were commenting earlier, that you're seeing high strikeout performances, and when they're not doing that, they're putting the ball in play, and guys are making some great plays behind them. So, you know, I do like where we're at. Again, I'd love to be clinched and be where the Dodgers are right now, but it is what it is, and we have to make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah. All right. You've been a Giant. You've been one of the special Giants with three World Series and the great playoff run. This could be the end for you in San Francisco. Who knows what next year will bring? You've had a tremendous run here in San Francisco with all the years from 2010 right to now with all the championships. How do you feel about that? Now, we don't know what could happen, but that is a possibility.
Well, it sounds like you know what's going to happen to me here.
I don't know what's going to happen, but this is your chance to say something, so I want to give you a chance.
No, it's been a special time. There's no doubt about it. I spent over half my career now. When I look back on it, I've been a Giant. I've been able to put on the black and orange and worn it proudly and worn it with some great teammates and friends, really, and experience some great Octobers here. And I look forward to that, to at least go down memory lane one more time and try to do it again. I know nothing's given. You have to earn it, and you know, again, it's all in front of us, but it's a special place to play. The fans have been tremendous, and, you know, they expect a lot, but that's a good thing because they come out in droves, and like you like to say, it's a private party for 40,000, and it really is. It really is. It's, yeah, you don't realize what you got till it's gone, and you notice it when we're on the road in some parks and it's empty, and you wonder how these teams can survive playing 81 games there, and when we're just in for a three-game stand, and, you know, we come home and we're jammed out, and it's a special moment, and I look back and I just think about a lot of teammates that I've been able to suit up with and share the uniform and share World Series experiences all the way dating back to 2010. I've watched kids grow up, and Madison and Buster in particular, but you know, you see Panic come on the scene, and Crawford since 2011, and just watching his progression and watching all these guys. It's been an exciting moment for me too, because it's very rare when a reliever gets to stick around in one place as long as I have, and really make the quality friendships that I've been able to make, not only in the clubhouse, but in the community and in the city. This is really a great place to play, and whatever happens, regardless of what ends up, I mean, I'll always think of San Fran as my home.
All right, very nice. I just want to give you a chance to say that, you know, and obviously we hope that you're here for a long time. One other thought before we wrap it up here with Javier Lopez, your thoughts about Jose Fernandez and the impact he had on the community in South Florida and just in the country in general with the terrible, tragic news of his death this week.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's, you know, you think of a member of a fraternity, and you know, your thoughts immediately go out to his friends and family and loved ones. That last thing you think about when you're out on the town is you know, an accident like that to take lives. And you know, there's two others in the tragedy as well, and you feel for their families and what they're going through. And it's a tough time. I never knew Jose personally. Some of the guys have been in the clubhouse that shared all-star locker rooms with him and told some stories about him. And when you watch him, you see that he's a fan of the game. He loved it. He was a showman. And I don't think you see that as often anymore. And so that kind of thing kind of stuck out with everybody, that he was, not only was he a showman, but he delivered as well. And he's a tremendous player, tremendous talent, and he's going to be sorely missed. But it's a shot to the brotherhood, and you know, your thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family and all that. And if anything, it just makes you once again realize that life is pretty precious, and you know, we saw it a couple years ago with Oscar Tavares, with the Cardinals go tragically in the Dominican, and it's one of those things where, again, you know, life is precious. You try to enjoy the moments while you got them, and especially when you get to put on a big league uniform, you try to enjoy those moments with your teammates and not try to take the work home with you. You try to just, whatever happens here happens here, and try to enjoy the life, because it's only 750 people get an opportunity to do this, and it's, you know, with that comes a lot of pressure. So when you see a guy, and as jovial as he was, and enjoyed the moment and was there for his teammates all the time, it's a tough loss. And you know, I got to say that watching the memorial actually touched me pretty deeply. And I didn't know him, but you do realize that he not only touched his teammates and everything else, but the community as a whole, being a Cuban living down in Miami, taking third time's a charm for him, coming across on the boat and saving his mom in the water. I mean, all these things. It's a storybook legend, and that's where we live in a good moment now, where everything is documented, everything is videotaped, and you know, although he may never get it, he won't be able to meet his daughter. She'll be able to see a lot of him and see what kind of personality he really had.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure, you know that, for me to work with you over all these years. You really have a knack of explaining baseball and explaining life, and you do it so well, and you had such a good, not only that, you were a pretty good baseball player too, so it's been a lot of fun, and I'm sure Ryan Howard won't be sorry to see you go, and Chase Utley and the rest of them, but it's been a pleasure. I love this, going every couple of weeks to get the idea of the flow of the season, so I appreciate it, and I thank you, and if there's any questions for me, I'm ready for you.
Well, Marty, I thank you for those kind words. I appreciate that. I always enjoyed the 2 weeks. I feel like that's just the right amount of time to dissect a season. And, you know, I appreciate that opportunity, and I look forward to what the future holds. But, you know, as far as a question for you is, you know, we talked about this maybe about a month ago. It was where the lead was. I think you were saying it was in 58, maybe, where the Dodgers and Yankees were, or Dodgers and Giants were 4 games back, then 5 games, and 2 games, and 1 game. Do you feel at any point in time that has ever lost its edge for you covering the game as long as you have? Do you enjoy the pennant races even more now with the wild card, a little bit less? Just where do you stand on those kind of situations as we go forward?
Yeah, great question. I love it because it's, you don't get to the end and know the end until you get to the end. And that's what baseball is all about. Whether it's the Dodgers, Giants in 62 down the stretch with 4 back and 6 to go and 2 back with 3 to go. Just getting in today as a team gives you a chance to win a World Series. So, yeah, this is the pennant race for me. I love it. And, you know, I've got to tell the fans, you know, don't give up. You know, you give up when you're eight back with six to go. And I think this is the essence of what baseball is all about, that it takes you to the end and you don't know the story. So for me, this is as exciting as the San Diego game with, you know, against Latos with Jonathan Sanchez pitching it the last day for the division. And my thing is, just get in. And that's what baseball is all about. So, yeah, I don't lose it, and I'm as excited as anything to be part of Giant Dodger last weekend. This is really my first Giant Dodger last weekend where both teams can get in, and that's pretty special.
Well, looking forward to that, we're looking at the end of a season against our rivals, and we haven't actually touched on it yet with Vin Scully being up in the booth. And I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to interact with Vin, but I've had a couple moments when I've been able just to say hello and chat with him a little bit, and he's never short on words, and he has stories for days. But is there any one particular Vin Scully moment that sticks out in your mind covering these Giant Dodger rivals?
Well, for me, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, so when I see him, I'm 10 years old, and that's the interesting thing. I don't get intimidated by anybody. I can interview anyone in the world. He makes me nervous when I see him because I'm a kid when I see him, and it goes back to my story that I tell on the air every once in a while. 10 years old, in between games with a doubleheader, he's buying a hot dog. You know, not in the press room. He's down there with the fans. My best friend got his autograph, ran over, says, I got the autograph of the voice of Brooklyn. I went over to get it, and he walked away, and I never got it. And it's still etched in my memory as a 10-year-old. But for me, the way he described Koufax and the games that Koufax pitched, and that was special for me in the 60s for what Koufax brought as a cultural person in the Jewish community and also just as a baseball player. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, Vin's a legend. I feel like he might be the last of that breed. I really think he was a great storyteller. He continues to be. And it was in a time when obviously the social media wasn't where it was at before. You needed everything to be described in great detail, but yet entertaining. And I feel like he's done it so seamlessly that you know, no offense to any other broadcasters that are out there, but I do think when he retires after 67 glorious years, that you know, we're definitely going to miss him. And in particular, the rivalry. You know, you get a chance to hear him at Dodger Stadium and say, time for Dodger baseball. So, you know, that's where you got to put those feelings aside and just enjoy the moment. But I want to thank you for all this time again. And I look forward to what the future holds. And hopefully we'll be talking in October.
I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot. Believe me. All right, Javi, thanks so much. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.